When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, AL Cheaters. Welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Boy, Josh, we are recording on Monday, a day which saw more goals in the Premier League than I had on my recent performance appraisal.
That's pretty good. You know, someone asked for a dad joke on this week's pod. I think it was our friend Boston Prophet. I think you nailed it right
there,
Brandon. You're good.
Right out of the gates. I mean, we have to apologize at the front because we have made a solemn promise, Josh, to ourselves first and foremost, and to our audience. We come out every Sunday night / Monday morning.
Whenever we get around.
Yeah. You and I, we messaged saying there was something unique about the coronation's ripple effect on the Premier League schedule. Yep. And given Brighton played on Monday and the double game weeks that they had coming up in 36 and 37, we had to push to Monday. And boy, I had no idea that it was worth waiting for this Brighton-Everton match as much as it was. Now, we'll have to really dig into it to see how much that Brighton-Everton match really skews our thoughts or changes our thoughts for the double-double for Brighton. Yep. But I will be the Solly March owner voice on this podcast, and you will be the non-Solly March.
How often have you thought about the sliding doors moment, Brandon, when you and I recorded a Patreon pod a week and a half ago? Do you remember this? And I was urging you to bring in Steele, and you did not do it. Did not mm-hmm. I looked good. I looked good in game week 35, Brandon. Game week 34, whatever it was. Kind of have egg on my face now in 35. It was not Steele's finest match. I don't know. Do we blame Steele for? I blame him for the own goal. Let's give him that. We'll give him the own goal. I don't know if any of the other four goals of the five that Everton scored are really his fault at all. Solly March is responsible for one. I'd say Dunk is responsible for another.
Brighton and all of Hove for that matter, and Albion to boot. Yeah. They're all taking blame for all five goals. There's enough blame to be spread around the entire tax base there, is my feeling.
What was this whole weekend? It was like, it was a coronation hangover. I don't know. It's like, it was just a very strange week for fantasy. I mean, the FPL Brooklyn said, what are we to make of this week's results? City beating Leeds by one at home, Brighton getting crushed, Liverpool winning by one, Newcastle getting shut out by a recently leaky Arsenal at home, and United blanking to West Ham at West Ham. It's fun for real life, but confusing for the run. And I'll add Fulham just, they may have been on the beach, Brandon, but that was some great beach ball, if that's what it was. They were awesome.
Yeah, that was like a beach soccer. They broke out the Umbro sand soccer shorts. It was a delight. That was such a strange match because Leicester, of course, have everything to play for with the relegation fight. But our friend Dave and I were talking about this on last week's Patreon podcast about we have to accept that there are different types of beaches around the world. So to be on the beach can mean so many different things.
It's true.
And I think it's fair to say that Leicester, even though they're about to have an extinction level event like the dinosaurs, are still on a beach of their own.
That's true.
Somehow.
Yeah, so, and also, I mean, some people aren't beach people, myself included. I don't enjoy the beach,
easily.
Brandon.
You burn easily.
Yeah, I just, being on the beach for me is, I am anxious on the beach.
Yeah.
It's sand in my shirt. Don't enjoy any of that. So I'm irritable and I want to get out of there. And maybe that's how Arsenal are, yeah. or how Fulham are right now. They just want to get out of here and wrap up the season. And so that's, I don't know.
Well, yeah, and I think a theme that has also emerged over the last 2, 3, 4 weeks is it's been a long season for all these players and injuries are really hitting hard. Fulham yeah. have lost Tim Ream, Pereira, and all a bunch of other teams are losing spines. So West Ham has been hit by a lot of injuries. I'm just thinking of all the players I've lost in my fantasy team, let's be honest. The one yeah. other remarkable
Your boy,
thing.
Kurt Zuma.
Zoom. Yeah, I saw a YouTube or a tweet or whatever of a fan chanting at Zuma as he limped off with his sprained ankle, like, this is how your cat feels. something horrible like that. This was also the weekend, Josh, where usually you're leveling the your boy moniker at me.
Yep.
Your boy. Yep. Dwight McNeil yeah. actually did Maka. What Erling Haaland did not have the yeah. courage to do, is score goals.
Yeah, Dwight McNeil, he pulled a Solly March, didn't he? The like 5 million guy who comes out of nowhere to have an incredibly dominant performance. He's always had it, Brandon, in his little toolbox. He's always had.
It all is a small toolbox. Yes.
It's a small toolbox, but it's got all the tools you need, Brandon. It's got the
little pocket
Phillips
knife.
The Phillips head and the regular. It's got wrench. Lots of things going on in there. So yeah, I was happy for him. I've always enjoyed watching Dwight McNeil play, and I mean he's never been in a team that has been kind of free flowing, and so I'm not sure mm-hmm. how. It's kind of hard to tell how good he really is, but he's always had a few moments here and there. And so I was happy for him. It was a very strange match. I think we can go ahead and talk about it because we can talk about our game week 35 scores, and we've got to talk about Brighton anyway. We'll do more of it later, but because Brighton is sort of the most important team right now for a host of reasons, Solly March injury, but also the fact that they play twice in game week 36 and then twice again in 37. They're the only team that mm-hmm. that do that. So they're in a really interesting spot. Yeah, but yeah, they also look like they're kind of not on the beach exactly, but just exhausted, right? There was a kind of exhaustion that poked through. And I think part of it is just, they had what, 72 hours. It wasn't that long, but really tough, impressive, I think, match against Man United where they did not look in any way ragged. They looked fantastic, but that match did go almost 100 minutes. Really intense match. They were in control, but also they had to hold off a feisty Man United squad, right? Maybe it wasn't Man United's best performance, but certainly Man United could have won that match. They certainly had the opportunities to do so. And so,
yeah, of the FA Cup semifinal that they took to pens. Really yeah. evenly matched clubs this season.
Yeah, and so I think maybe there was a little bit of a hangover, right? You play that match, and then you're home to Everton, and you probably think, yeah. okay, like we're gonna at the very least win this match, and Everton come out and punch him in the nose 30 seconds in. And what I thought was interesting was that Everton didn't really hang back. It wasn't like I thought once that first goal scored, I was like, oh, this is going to be kind of a dreadful match, right? Because I was just thinking either they're going to like put every, 11 behind the ball and just try to hold on for dear life with a 1-0. Mm-hmm. It didn't really work out that way. I'm not sure if it's because Brighton weren't playing well. I think that was probably a big factor. But it felt like Everton, certainly in the first half, were kind of going for it. But the second half, it was kind of a siege. But that was fine because at that point, they were up so much. The whole point was just make sure you don't concede 3 or 4 goals, which by the 70th minute or so, it wasn't clear. And so anyway, from a fantasy perspective, I get the own goal from Steele. McAllister misses like two great. Well, one, he hits the crossbar once, and then Pickford makes a great save on him a few minutes later. So I'm reeling, and then March goes down and gets injured. They score a fourth goal, so now I'm on a -2 for Steele, and it's all fine. I'm not really actually even down that much from the game week, but a couple minutes later, Matoma misses like a point blank chance, and then it basically rolls on McAllister's belly. And I don't think I've actually ever seen a goal scored quite this way before, where a player was literally just on the ground and it just kind of hit like his midsection, right? Like he didn't even see it.
Let's go with belly. I like belly.
Yeah, belly. It was a belly ball, belly goal, the rare belly goal. And it just sort of bounced off of him in.
He had
right?
to feed the tree, said McAllister.
I don't think it was his back because I feel like he was flat down, but it all happened so fast that it was like, by the time he looked up, you know, it was a goal that was scored. And so, but I, you know, as someone who had McAllister, I had McAllister and Mitoma, so that was enough. I mean, and it was a very, very low scoring game week, but that got me up to a mighty 40 points, Brandon. And
nice.
This was a game week. Sometimes you need I had 127, you know, last game week, and this time around I had 40, and that was enough for a green arrow. So I'll take it. But, you know, the band of scores were all pretty low this game week, right? I think everyone was kind of in that,
low.
Everyone was in that kind of 30 to 45 range thereabouts.
Yeah. Yeah, I finished on 34. I rolled my transfer. And going back to that sliding doors moment you mentioned earlier where I had two frees going into the was it the game week 34 double? Mm-hmm. And I picked up Ederson in March. And so now you play the hindsight game. It was clearly wrong to go Ederson in March, but the other combinations would have been Grealish and Steele, mm-hmm. Grealish and De Gea and somebody else. Any combination in which I would have gotten McAllister would have been ideal, but we cannot play this game. The thought process was I already had Dunk. Brighton are going to score goals. And when they played that match against Wolves and scored six goals, I thought, well, at least my logic prevails going mm-hmm. with March here. Just yeah. so happens, March, I don't know if he's just cannot mentally recover from that penalty miss against yeah. Manchester United in the Cup, or if actually they knew he was nursing a hamstring that was tight this whole time and they were yeah. trying to limit his minutes. Nonetheless, I've gotten three points from March in three game weeks. And,
yeah. Really unbelievable. Disappointing for you and a lot of people listening. I think he's one of those players. He has a high ownership overall, but in the kind of fantasy, the kind of people who listen to a podcast like ours, Brandon, I feel like he was like 93% owned. Mm-hmm. Just a very highly owned player. And like you said, it was wild for it was a truly bad luck trio of matches for him. I think there's no getting around yeah. it. They score what, five goals in the first half against Wolves. He has no goal involvement. I don't know how.
Yeah.
And then gets subbed off in the 58th minute. And then comes off the bench in the next match, doesn't do very much. And then comes off the bench in this one and comes off like a firecracker. I mean, if anyone was going to get attacking returns, it felt like it was going to be Solly March in the second half, and sets up a couple of balls that really could have been goals. Pickford had a pretty good match. Although, did you see? I feel like he shoved over McAllister to the end. That was nobody made a big deal about that, Brandon.
I mean, Pickford's going to Pickford. I mean, you remember when he almost ended Virgil van Dijk's career just because,
yes.
you know, everyone just loves goalkeepers being, you know, kind of
feisty.
Criminally insane.
Yeah,
feisty is another way to say it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there's a version of this game week 35 where it went okay for me. I mean, you just had to laugh when City yet again blow a clean sheet for no reason in the 75th minute.
Yeah.
Ederson wipeout. Yeah. I give all credit to people who went for a Salah captaincy. I think this was absolutely the right week to do it. Concerns about City rotation with their Champions League fixtures, and it worked out. But Haaland genuinely could have had a hat trick in the first half of that Leeds match. He just
played 90 minutes.
And it was when Haaland was put free and clear on the goal with a pass from De Bruyne, I think it was, and Haaland went to strike the ball, and the ball went off of his left foot before he could strike it. In that moment, you just knew, well, Haaland is not going to get a goal today, and that's too bad. Not
could
even
have
a penalty. Exactly. So I'm kind of echoing your sentiments here in that it's a low-scoring game week, but one that I don't think that anyone is going to remember. For me personally, it is just a continuation of a two steps forward, two steps back policy in the late stage of this season. So I really need to turn on the afterburners. And when I look ahead to game week 36, Josh, minus March now, I at least still have five double game weekers, I think there is still an opportunity to hit the afterburners and really come on strong the last three game weeks. And for everybody out there who is engaged in head-to-head leagues, this is exactly the moment where you want to come into form, because head-to-head playoffs start in game week 36. That's true.
So, right, you said you have five, but does that include March? Would March be one of the five?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I was counting on the fly there. So the plan was to bring in a third Newcastle player this transfer window to give me six, but now March is out. So I'm technically on four because March is out. So now I count three season-ending injuries in my lineup right now.
Yeah, we don't know that it's season-ending, but it's that kind of hamstring injury would... I mean, not that we're not doctors, right? But just, you know, we've all, I mean, just after 10 years of playing this game, you being fans of the sport, you kind of know when you see somebody pull up like that. And that's probably 2 or 3 weeks, right? And 2 or 3 weeks gets you to the end of the season. And even if it meant that all he did was miss the next double game weeks, the next four game weeks for Brighton, that is enough for him to, they're not going to just start him in game week 38, I would imagine, right? So he's probably just done. And that, so anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just to confirm, it's, we don't know where March is, but it seems very unlikely, I think, to both of us that he plays again this season.
So I guess if we just want to move away from game week 35, it's about time, Josh, as we cast our mind ahead to game week 36.
As Lizzo said,
So I've got two frees, and March clearly has to go, and I think the simplest move would be March to McAllister. And McAllister, I think, is one that we should just really start thinking seriously about, because he has survived a lot of different recent formation changes by De Zerbi, where he's been pushed farther back in the midfield as he's been playing a different personnel in the front three or front four. And McAllister has persevered, and he continues to get goal scoring opportunity after goal scoring opportunity on top of being a set piece and pen taker. So McAllister feels like he is a no-brainer March replacement if you're on a Matoma March. So that's where I'm leaning. That would recast my Brighton triple up. And then the question is, what do we do with Newcastle? Because you and I are in the same boat with the Trippier Botman, and we wonder, will Newcastle ever keep a clean sheet again? And
seems
they've
unlikely.
Got Leeds and Brighton. It's a and the Leeds match is away against the wounded animal that is Leeds. So I'm not holding my breath for a huge clean sheet bounty from Newcastle here. So I mean, there was a thought, Josh, where I could actually just dump Alisson and move him to Pope, and I could actually try to have every goalkeeper above 5 million. that is available this season, which would be a wonderful way to go about it.
Martinez climb up to five. You could try to squeeze him in for game week 38 or something.
But I think it's probably McAllister and Isak coming in for Watkins. I mean, Watkins home Spurs versus Tony. So I've got two options for Isak here. It's Tony or Watkins. I am very intrigued by how Brentford will come up against West Ham. And Brentford are hosting West Ham. Brentford are a home club, as we know. And West Ham looked fantastic this weekend, but they against Manchester United. But they do play in the Europa League on Thursday. Anything, this West Ham team have been putting in some notable performances. Yes, maybe they're hitting form, or will they be a little fatigued as they come into this Brentford match in the weekend, where they look relatively safe from the drop? And maybe they can just sort of take their foot off the gas. So I kind of want to play Tony there, and Watkins, the goals have dried up. That's my logic. What do you think about that?
I don't know. It'd be hard for me not to just go with Isak there. I mean, we can talk about...
Well, that's what I'm saying. I would bring Isak in for Watkins and then play Haaland, Tony, and Isak across.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I forgot that you already have Tony. I like starting Tony a lot. Sorry. I thought In my head, you were deciding between Isak and Tony there, and
I'm in that situation. If you don't have Tony, then yeah, Isak just with the double fixtures alone, and how good he looks. Yeah.
I think the only other thing I would maybe consider in your situation would be maybe turning Allison into a because you do have Ederson, you're not going to drop him now with the double in 37, so turning Allison into Steele, and then does that give you the money to bring in Isak and then turn? Probably not, because he's not very expensive. But you know, does that turn McAllister into some, or does that turn March into somebody like Bruno? Probably not, right? I can't imagine you'd be able to get to Bruno with those.
Yeah,
moves.
I don't think so either. Yeah. I don't think so either. Yeah, I mean Bruno, top transfer targets who I could not afford. Kane, even without a double, this guy is ridiculous. I think Kane is a destroyer of fantasy mini league rivals. I would love to have him, mm-hmm. and also Bruno. I mean, how much are we trying to will this narrative into being, though, Josh? Because Manchester United, I think their form doesn't really lie to me. What we are seeing from the recent run of results is how badly they're suffering with those defensive injuries. Moving Shaw into center back. You're losing a little bit of what Shaw offers out on the left, and in addition to, what Martinez did with playing out from the back, et cetera. There's like this cascading effect. Yeah. So, Bruno has not been able to shoot for his life in recent months.
The only thing is he's shooting so much that I feel like that's the saving grace, is that he's. If you shoot that much, eventually something's going to go in, or it's going to spill into somebody. The keeper's going to spill it into Rashford's arms. He's going to pick up
Bruno is Manchester United's Enciso. Yeah. Have you ever seen a kid shoot as much as Enciso? He scored one worldie.
Yeah. Not even close. He's like the new, it's like Andros Townsend or something, right? It's like 20 shots, they go into road X and then one worldie. I mean, Townsend always saved it for the Man United or for the Man City matches anyways. Yep, right? It was always somehow with the Etihad. He was always at his best. So I think those moves make sense. If moving to Steele doesn't actually solve any problems, I guess if I were in your position, that's the only thing I'd think about is, are there moves that would free up money that would help you in 37, right? So think of the two game weeks as a pair, because just as a reminder for everybody, game week 37 is when we have doubles for Man United, Man City, Chelsea, and Brighton. Once again, that team. So, but I think just straight up, I think those kind of do feel like the most logical moves. It's like, especially because it's always annoying to make what feels like a lateral move, right? March to McAllister. But given that they have these two double game weeks and that it does seem better to prioritize their attacking assets mm-hmm. over their defensive assets, I think I'm with you.
Yeah. What are you thinking about for 36 and down the line?
I have two free transfers. And I think for me, the thing that makes the most sense is to just straight up go Watkins to Isak, just straight over Watkins to Isak, make that move, and then hold one of my two transfers for next week. And then mm-hmm. what I'll probably do in that case would be to turn Trippier into a cheap Man United defender, and then use that money to upgrade Gakpo to Bruno. And I would mm-hmm. be able to do that move. And so it just kind of feels, it's like those three transfers, all of which I could do for free, feel so good and logical that I know something's going to go wrong and I'm going to like jinx myself or something like that. But I'm feeling.
Maybe not.
Yeah. My head is very clear right now. I'm feeling very good. My goal was to see if it was possible to somehow get like inside the top. I'm at 3K right now. So I wanted to see if I could get inside the top 1K, Brandon, which I think is still, it's not likely actually. It's hard. Like, you know, there's like on live FPL, you can see how far you've got to go. And it's 20 plus points, which is pretty, I mean, not impossible, but hard to make up when a lot of teams look very similar in this, mm-hmm. in this band. But that would be the goal. And my goal though, is to try to do it with, what has to be the lowest team value of anybody in the top. I'm at 102.1. I'm looking to scramble more. But my goal was to I want to finish inside the top 1K and with the sub 100 million team value. To me, that would be one of the greatest accomplishments in the history of fantasy. And I don't know that I can do it, Brandon. I'd have to probably drop Howell in the last week or something like that.
You'd be that guy from the Oakland A's, the Moneyball guy. Bill,
exactly.
What's his name?
Billy Bean. Yeah, exactly. That's the dream. Exactly. So, but that just feels really clean and easy for me. Just go Watkins, D-Sock. I mean, I actually would be happy to start Watkins. They play Spurs at home, but yeah. It just feels like I like the upside of that pick. And if I bring in D-Sock, I'll probably captain him, even though I don't know for a fact that he's going to start twice. I still like I like taking the upside gamble there because I think he'll start the first one, and that's the one that feels like a really big priority to me because that is the Leeds match, and it's just hard for me to see.
I'm curious about that, Josh, because it's the Newcastle Arsenal match came at an interesting moment in the Callum Wilson Isak conversation.
Yeah.
Because what we saw was Callum Wilson was starting from the bench, would come on, look amazing, score some goals to the point where Eddie Howe kind of had no choice but to start Isak and Wilson together because both of them were playing so well.
Yeah.
And they just got creamed by Arsenal. I don't know if that description actually crosses the ocean, but we'll find out.
Yeah.
They got creamed. And I feel like I wonder if it's enough for Eddie Howe to say, you know what, top four is crucial to the evolution of the iteration of this club. We need to go with what is working, and that's Isak maybe through the middle. I feel good. I'm wondering if in these two matches for Newcastle and the double, if Isak starts in the number nine in one of them and maybe starts out wide. I think he starts both is my bold prediction.
I think that's possible. I think ultimately I just think, if anyone's going to start twice, it's going to be him, I think. And I think I like him in 100. I don't think we've ever done an entire podcast before we actually really started the podcast before. I think we're heading towards it right now.
Let's keep going.
So, yeah. But I think I like him in 135 minutes more than I like kind of any of the other double game week options in 180. Matoma is an interesting one because it does feel like he is like, if I were 37, you know, let's say I'm in a little cash league with my friends and I'm in fifth place and I'm 49 points out of first place. I think in a spot like that, something like a Matoma captaincy would be a gamble worth taking because he's got he's going to start both these matches. I feel quite confident about that. And he's got an explosiveness to his game that has not translated into massive FBL returns the last few weeks, but he looks awesome, right? I mean, you know, maybe his crossing isn't always there, but he's getting into the box. He's creating havoc. He's shooting. It's kind of all the things that you'd want in a kind of, you know, low captaincy option, you know, like a slightly under the radar captaincy pick. I think you could throw McAllister in there too. The only thing with McAllister is he can be kind of frustrating because there are times like in the first half of the Everton match where he really was behind the play, right? He was really in more of a playmaker role where he was kind of feeding the ball in. In the second half, he was crashing the box, totally different style of play. But there, you could have moments where McAllister is not quite as advanced as Matoma, in which case I would slightly favor Matoma as a captain pick.
Yeah, certainly if you're going to throw the armband on anybody, I'm with you on Matoma. Yeah, people will be concerned that he hasn't scored a goal since game week 30, but I take your point because he has looked...
Yeah, looks good.
He still looks good. He passes that eye test for sure. I can't make a strong case for anybody else. I mean, you've got Mo and Holland, both single game weekers, both away from home, but both against garbage opposition and Leicester and Everton, respectively. My concern, I think, chiefly in the double game week is for the Brighton defense, where they are away at the Emirates against Arsenal and then away at St. James Park. These are two of the worst possible fixtures for the defense. And also, I think if you're trying to be cheeky with the Matoma captaincy, I don't know, those fixtures are going to – that's a big hill to crest mentally, I think.
What about Joe Linton Is that somebody you would consider at all? I mean, you could probably turn March into Joe Linton. He's probably going to play twice. He has a fairly explosive game himself. I mean, he's got double-digit returns and twice, going back to game week 29. Ownership is at 2.7%, so very much under the radar. I think a not insane captain pick, given that we don't like feel like there's a single one who's just, you know, incredible. So I think he's maybe worth tossing the pile. I mean, you could even throw Bruno Guimaraes in there, too, just because he's, you know, if you can handle the yellow cards, he's very active. Feels, you know, his attacking returns haven't really been there so far this season.
Guimaraes and Jolinton, I think, are good shouts if you have another. I'm trying to think of another midfielder, like if you have Saka, for example. Mm-hmm. My concern about moving an injured March to one of those players is you're going to be on your back foot going into game week 37 when Brighton again double. So, you know, maybe that's you know what we often talk about is the double game week frame of mind will block you from seeing the things right in front of you. Like discussed, Newcastle have better fixtures in the double in 36, but Brighton have an additional double in 37. Therefore, that's not necessarily always the best strategy, but this is what I'm thinking with a pick like Joelinton is you then might want to be ready to immediately dump that Newcastle mid for a Brighton attacker when we get to game week 37.
Yeah, maybe a Man City, maybe a Jack Grealish, if you could afford him. So I think this is a fun game week to me because this is a game week where I think especially because of the March injury, which has caused a lot of chaos, I think that it's an opportunity for some creative decisions. And I think that it's not a game week to sort of just, you know, especially if you're chasing, you know, if you're leading your mini leagues, then sure. I mean, I think, you know, probably is logical to just go straight up March to McAllister, not think twice about it. But if you're trying to make up some ground, if you're trying to, you know, cash in a mini league, if you're trying to be a little bit different down the stretch, I think there are quite a number of different routes you can go, including Callum Wilson, who, you know, you and I mean, we kind of are in agreement on the ESOC thing, but I don't think that going with Wilson or going with both of them is at all a crazy move. It's just, it just doesn't feel, I mean, to me, the biggest thing for me, and it's almost like a tiebreaker for me, but ESOC just looks like the real thing. I don't, you know, it's like, not to sound like I'm totally just waxing lyrical here or whatever, but just like, he looks like an incredible player and it just feels like he's going to be involved in the box and create chances and slice up that Leeds defense. And so.
You can tell when new players come into the league. You can tell, you can just tell if they fit or not. And that goes for goalkeepers, defenders, you know, holding mids, attacking mids, forwards, et cetera, et cetera. And Isak, I agree. He just looks like he's at the level where he needs to be. He fits. And you wonder if Callum Wilson plays. Well, I don't know. That's dumb because we've seen Callum Wilson do what he's been doing the last month for many seasons. But I do think it's good for Callum Wilson to have Isak at Newcastle to challenge him and to say, hey, listen, you've got to step it up. You can't be injured like a little baby all the time.
And what injuries are injuries, Brandon? What can you do? Like, if you have like a torn hamstring, it's, you know, you just have to wait it out.
Was it Klopp who came in and like gave Daniel Sturridge this lecture of just like, you got to play. I mean, I'm sorry you got a little boo-boo on your, you know,
you think that Wilson is soft? Is that, that's, that,
well,
that,
just, I mean,
I, no, I mean, I want you to spell out what you're implying here.
All right. Everyone hit pause. Go find Callum Wilson. One of you who is listening right now is within proximity of Callum Wilson. Get him over here. Let's get him on the phone. I'm having a bit of fun here, but I think there's obviously something to the dynamic of players at this level. You see it in every sport. A really gifted player who sometimes just needs another very gifted player who does very similar things to come in and challenge them to, you know, whatever you can do, I can do as well, if not better.
I think that's,
I think that's true.
And maybe the injuries came from a lack of fitness, Brandon. So you're saying that he's faking, and I'm saying that he is not match fit. And yet, both of us love Callum Wilson. And
he is
and
the truth.
The nickname The Truth comes straight from this podcast and from our great love of Callum Wilson. So, Callum The Truth Wilson, I love you. Brandon, I don't know where he is with you right now. He thinks you're faking. But I think these injuries have been real, and, mm-hmm. and I feel bad for you. All right, let's pivot here. I want to do a couple of quick things and then we'll take a quick break. Always cheating Super League top 10, because of the screwy scheduling, we actually haven't had a chance to read off the top 10 in a while. So let's do that real quick. And Brendan, why don't you do it? I feel like I often read the top 10. Why don't you give this one a go?
Here? Yeah, I'd love to. The Super League, our big listener mini league, free to join. Go to alwayscheating.com to get that league code. In the 10th place, Guilherme Almeida. In 9th, our friend Eric Sibbles. Balas Pacazzi, apologies, in 8th place. In 7th, we got Charlie Boyle, Vicky Davis in 6th, Youssef Jafar in 5th place, Sarah Edge falling down to 4th place, but still going strong, Tom Appadale in 3rd, Håkon Vingelsgaard up to 2nd place, and Sakir Tai has been holding strong in 1st place for some time, 1 point away from the great 2,500 points mark. A great season for Sakir.
Yeah, it used to be the top, getting 2,000 points was like what it took to have a really strong season. And I remember there was some, I wish I could remember the name of it. There was a blog I used to really like back in the day. Back when we were first starting, this is when people just had full blogs. Right now, it's like it's professional websites. If you're creating FPL content, someone's just going to snap you up, and you'll join, you know, Hub or Scout or whatever. Yep. But back in the day, you just have these people who just wrote content, and I kind of miss that, to be honest with you. I want more of that in my life. I applaud the people who've created some of these Substacks, because they are, it's fun to get those in my inbox and get it.
Agreed.
Just, you know, separate from the social media stuff and self-promotion. So not that we don't do that ourselves. So Brandon, Patreon. A handful of new patrons. A big thank you to our newest producer patron. Always fun to have a new producer, Travis Grant. Travis, thank you so much. And we'll be in touch this week about a Always Cheating t-shirt. Maybe we already have, Brandon. I don't know.
Oh, we're already in touch, Travis. Check your inbox, man. We got you.
Excellent, excellent. And then we've got Barry and Seabiscuit at the bottom here, Brandon. It sounds like
what?
Sounds like the HBO Max lineup right there. It's that's my Sunday night. Barry followed by Seabiscuit. So that's
how many times have you seen Seabiscuit at this point?
Oh, geez. I mean, 75, something like that. I mean, I watch it every Sunday. So it's how many Sundays I've been alive for? I guess it's
many.
Now, it's I like that. Thank you, Seabiscuit and Barry and Travis Grant for supporting the podcast. All right, let's take a break. Let's see what else we have yet to talk about when it comes to Game Week 36. And we'll be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, Ben, we're back. Game week 36, continuing our discussion, but maybe with a little more structure this time. So I've got five questions here for you, Brandon. Let's just go move through them and try to be a little more definitive in our thoughts here. So question one, Solly March, we did talk about him already. What should Solly March owners do? You're a Solly March owner. You're leaning towards McAllister. What are some other options that are on the table for Solly March owners beyond McAllister?
Yeah, so I think there are two different ways to approach Solly March. You see the volume game, which is like a traditional diehard FPL manager. It's just like, I want as many fixtures as possible. And that's when you have to narrow down your replacements to Newcastle, Manchester City, or Manchester United. We are not in any version of this podcast going to consider the Chelsea Manchester double in game week 37, even though God bless you, Frank Lampard.
And they play Forest in 36. Like, in theory, it's all set up for us, but there's just no one to argue for.
Yeah, but and we might get to this in the captaincy discussion as we press that one a little bit farther. But I'm not over the idea that, just given what we saw in game week 35, nothing went necessarily as we predicted. But especially just looking at those Monday results, just absolutely bananas. So why is it that we need to be that version of an FPL manager where we just play that volume game? Because if I'm thinking of teams that are in terrific form and have everything to play for, it's all about Liverpool. I understand why you're talking about getting rid of Cody Gakpo. And I mean, an issue with looking at a Liverpool mid for replacing Solly March is that Klopp now has everyone fit again, assuming Jota is like continually being put into a hyperbaric chamber. But you don't necessarily know who's going to start. But I do think Gakpo against Leicester, I mean, Leicester proved yet again against Fulham that they cannot defend. They are like, as you know, these guys get paid to do this professionally, but they're incapable of defending.
So it was a crucial game against a team that had nothing really to play for and had not even been playing that well, honestly, of late. And the Willian goal said it all, because it was a floated in cross from about, what, like 35 yards away that just kind of danced over 20 players and nestled itself in the corner. I mean, that's just a real lack of organization right there. Right. Yeah. And sort of, I don't want to like go in on Leicester, cause I don't want them to go down, to be quite honest. There are other teams I'd prefer to see. You and I have talked about this many times before. I had a great experience at the King Power. I really like their fans. I like the stadium. They're a title-winning club in the last decade. The season has been bad, but I would like to see them stay up. But like you just said, they cannot defend. It's just like it's chaotic. Yeah.
And all their good players just looked like they're already checked out. They're already planning where, you know, what club they're going to be at next season. One player that has crossed my mind, and it was certainly helped by one of the greatest first half performances you've seen from a midfielder this season, is Martin Odegaard. And he is just on another level at the moment. And he fits nicely, if you've got a million in your bank, into that Solly March position. Yeah. Now, again, that you're getting away from playing the doubles, but you think Arsenal hosting Brighton, who will definitely be smarting after that result against Everton. And then their next two matches, Arsenal's are, is Forest and Wolverhampton. Wolverhampton at the Emirates on the last day of the season. So I think this is a fairly decent three-match run-in for Odegaard. And that, to me, is a decent way to be different. Martinelli, for that matter, is basically Matoma. And we stopped talking about Martinelli because Arsenal's form leveled down and their fixtures got poor. But Martinelli is still there, like Matoma is, putting in incredible performances, though the fantasy returns haven't been what we had gotten used to. But I think Martinelli as well is somebody you could consider for March.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. The problem is the Man City, the lack of reliability into the Man City options, right? Like, so, I mean, it's almost like you kind of default to someone like Odegaard because, like you said, you look at these squads and you're like, I just don't, you know, Bruno were anywhere close to just being like an easy March. I don't, you know, it's like, what should Solly March do? Oh, they should get Bruno Fernandes, who costs 4.3 million more, right? It's like, it's not really a fair comparison. Yeah. I mean,
Surgery for most people, right?
Exactly. Huge team surgery for most people. So then you're like, okay, maybe you get up to 7 million, 7.5, something like that. Maybe you can free up money. You drop someone in your defense or whatever. You downgrade Trent to Van Dijk, whatever, like, you know, you find some way. In your case, you've got like 15, 16 million in your keepers, right? So you free up some money that way.
It would pay me to drop one of my beloved premium keepers, but yeah,
that's
that,
true. You want to go
that situation.
Yeah. You want to go, I think you want to bring back Joe Hart, who has seven million. I think Joe Hart started 7 million 1 year for Man City.
Maybe.
I feel like he did.
Wow.
Maybe it was just six, but it was quite high.
What a total ledge. Jack Grealish is somebody that I think we should definitely be watching. So City are traveling midweek to Madrid.
Yeah.
And Grealish will surely start. And he starts every match except for in game week 35. I feel like his minutes are going to be pretty safe. Grealish is, you know, I don't know. We kind of dance around Grealish every week, don't we? Where we're like, he's good. He's in really great form. Plays in the best team. Is he a fantasy pick, though?
I don't know. I mean, it feels like he's been a little Solly Marched, where he's been kind of unlucky.
Yeah.
Right? It does feel like it's like there's an alternative, you know. Well, in theory,
we all have him in an alternative role.
In theory, Brandon, there's infinite alternative universes. So this doesn't really this analogy doesn't really fly. But you know, let's say there's one that's not too dissimilar from our own, Brandon. An alternative universe.
Somebody is making a better podcast in another multiverse.
Exactly.
I'm sure.
It's certainly one that is easier to follow. but he there's a world not too dissimilar from our own where he is on like 30 points over the last 3 weeks, right? I mean, obviously he didn't play at all in game week 35, but you could argue that that's in his favor, right? That now, but the problem is with Pep, it's hard to say because no one really wants to go ahead and admit this because we got a good race out of Arsenal. They kept it tight and they even won at Newcastle and a home to Chelsea the last two matches to give us a tiny bit of a sweat going into the final couple of weeks. They've done all they can. This argument that because Man City have won five of the last six, it just means like it's, you know, that they're just run away with it. I'm actually not as convinced by that as some people are, because to me, this was a really fun and exciting race, and Arsenal, if they hadn't honestly kind of choked a little bit. Could have won the title. Liverpool just a couple of years ago, I mean, last year included, right? Last year they almost won the title. If Villa had held on and won that match, and then 2 years ago was the really epic one, right? Where they were neck and neck the entire season. So to me, Man United won, 13 of the first 20 Premier League titles. It's not like dominance is anything that's unusual. Sure. In the
Premier
sport.
League is right where it's always has been. Exactly. The more things same change, as, the more they stay
exactly.
the same.
Same as it ever was, just swapping a different club at the top. So, whatever. You can talk about the finances and all that stuff. That's for a different podcast than ours. But,
sure.
But yes, I think that I think Grealish is a shout. I'm kind of with you there. I think Odegaard. I mean, I actually think I probably would still go Martinelli over Odegaard just because he's so advanced. He does get subbed more, which is kind of annoying. But he's also just. He's just been taking so many shots and he's just super, super aggressive. And, I kind of wonder if there's a cheeky way to maybe bring Gabriel Jesus in, for game week 38. That would be kind of fun, going Isak to Jesus for the final week of the season.
I'm into it.
Yeah, that could
I'm
be
all in on that one.
Yeah, your bet. You're just like stone cold.
My famous Darwin won? Jesus. I think it's still 10 points separating them.
Is that it? Let me look at this real quick. So you bet that over the course of a season, Jesus would top Darwin, right?
Correct.
And then you would you write a LinkedIn review on this person's?
No, this guy Marlon is going to have to write on a piece of paper that I am a superior fantasy manager, and I shake my hand or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's so, just like a bet to own the other person, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So Gabriel Jesus is on 110 points. And Darwin is on 100. Okay, you're right. So you knew that instantly. You knew that he's on 100.
I'm tracking
so
my bets. I've got my bet slip right here. I'm tracking.
Yeah, and Jesus, that's also what Jesus missing 8 weeks of the season
with
an injury.
13 games, I think.
yeah, exactly. And yeah, I realize that Darwin hasn't started some of those matches, but that's his own fault.
That's
he got his chances. So I'm actually not. I'm with you. I'm not super enthused about Gakpo, but I mean, again, about the idea of dropping him in 37 for Bruno. But to me, it's a.
What did you think? Speaking of Gakpo. That new sort of lineup that Klopp rolled out this weekend, where Gakpo was playing behind the 10.
Wasn't great, but then he also could have scored twice, so I don't know,
Where Jota just blasted the ball off of his kneecap.
Yeah,
wow.
Exactly. On the one hand, Gakpo should score there, but Jota did cross it really hard.
A friendly cross. That was not a collegial cross.
Exactly. That's not like a tap it in kind of cross. That's like a redirect your shin into the goal or whatever. So, but I think at some point with these, it honestly does work out. I mean, we always talk about these double game weeks being, how frustrating they can be and how they kind of warp our thinking and stuff like that. But ultimately, two is better than one. And especially when it comes to someone like Bruno, give me crazy old Bruno shooting from every spot on the pitch, twice.
Sure. You're picking a dodgeball team. You want a crazy guy on.
Exactly.
On your team.
Away to a pretty woeful. Well, I mean, actually Bournemouth have played well. I mean, of these two matches in 37 between Bournemouth and Chelsea, I'd probably expect Man United to score more in the Chelsea match. then Wolves too. So I actually think if you were, and this is actually, we're somehow still on the first question here, Brandon. If you had two transfers right now and you were thinking ahead and you really were like, you know what, I want to see if I can get three Brighton, three Man United, three Man City in for 37. It may be time to do the surgery right now, take a -4, maybe even a -8, and try to get Bruno in right now, because then you'd have Bruno for the Wolves match at home in 36. And maybe there's, it's everyone's team's going to be a little bit different, so I can't advocate for an explicit path here, but that could be another option there as well. I don't trust Antony. I mean, he'd be the kind of cheaper way in there, but just don't do it. And obviously Shaw is just way less appealing because now Shaw's playing as a center back. And what do you think about and I don't want to get totally off here, but what do you think about the Man United defense? Is there anything worth having there?
Well, I think that they're a hard team to bet on, but I think the it just feels right. You know, I'm with you in your plan for 37. Just from a fantasy squad structure, feels like it's going to be the easiest way to just toss in another Manchester United player.
Yep.
And I think that's okay. I'm actually thinking of Luke Shaw for my game week 37 transfer, because even though he's playing center back, he's still coming up to take corner kicks, and he'll take some set pieces, and he'll get you FPL returns for that. And just a reminder, in 37, you already mentioned this, Bournemouth and Chelsea. I think that I'm feeling just as fine with Luke Shaw as I am with Bruno. I mean, if you're going to slander the Manchester United defense right now, I think you have to cast the same judgment on Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah,
and we all have
at
this.
At least Shaw does take some corners. Yeah,
yeah. So, but we have this understanding that Manchester United can do it. So this is where we're at in the fantasy season. It's a punt worth taking. I think.
Talk about a sliding doors moment. By the way, the 89th, 90th minute, whatever it was. I think it was actually in the 90th when Luke Shaw, Man United are 0-0. Luke Shaw's on bonus points. This is almost too painful for some of our listeners here, Brandon, but it is a wild, wild swing. So he's on for bonus points at the end of that Brighton match. Picks up a yellow, slightly harsh yellow, I think, but a yellow nonetheless. From that yellow unfolds a series of plays that ultimately lead to a corner that lead to another Luke Shaw handball and getting a yellow card and a clean sheet loss and bringing in McAllister returns as well, which is his ownership is not crazy low. And then the next week they concede. I actually thought that the West Ham match might be tough for them. I actually didn't feel super confident that they were going to keep a clean sheet on that one. That felt like that was going to be a pretty tight match. So, but yeah, I mean, you just wonder if there was like a little bit of a kind of sag that happened after conceding in that Brighton match. Yeah. You know, it's hard to shake that thing off. They only played like 72 hours later.
Yeah, I agree. So, and Manchester United will have to bounce back, because given the insane results, the bottom of the table and right around the Champions League spots, Newcastle, Manchester United, Liverpool all have to be pushing super hard. So this is not lost on Manchester United. They will, and Ten Hag will, will make them feel the pressure.
If they don't win out, they're probably not going to be the champions next year, given how Liverpool are playing. All right, well, we talked about Wilson versus Isak. I think we can skip past that one. You and I are both very, very pro-Isak. I think getting both is fine, but just be careful of who you're dropping to do that, right? I think that's like you were talking about Tony. Tony, to me, is not a player I would drop for Wilson, especially on a hit, right? That just feels kind of... If your team just looks awesome and it's just like you're like, yeah, I've got Watkins and Tony or something like that, I want to mix things up and I want to kind of go for it with those two. I don't have a problem with that, but it's not something I would strongly advocate
for. It creates a benching dilemma for me right now on my bus team. Yeah. I just have Watkins on my bench.
Right.
But if I bring Isak in, then I want to play Haaland, Tony, and Isak across the front. Then I have to bench... I don't even know who. Rashford?
Yeah. I know some people are talking about this. Some people who have like Estepanian, or I guess in your case, like Dunk, it's the same thing where they're like, wait, how am I actually going to have to bench Trent Alexander-Arnold this week because there's no other way to, which seems like a terrible idea, right?
Yeah, don't do it. Yeah. I would rather bench a Stupinon or Dunk. I'd much rather play Trent over Brighton's away double, which. I don't know. God, bench boost chips.
I think that's right. I actually think that's, someone may have asked us that question, but even if they didn't, I think I would play Trent in one over any Brighton defender in two, including Estepanian, even though he's very attacking and has his moments. But it's a really tough double for them from an attacking perspective. It's hard to imagine them keeping a clean sheet away to Arsenal or away to Newcastle. I mean, with Steele, I'm just hoping to get 6 points across those too, right? Just hopefully gets enough saves that it kind of equals. I think, and certainly if you didn't have to bench, then I wouldn't do it. But I agree. I would not be benching Trent over any Brighton defender. All right. A couple more questions, Brandon. We talked about captain options a little bit already, but you said you had some additional thoughts. So who do you think are the, you know, maybe two or three best captain options for game week 36?
So we've covered the double. So are you going to go Matoma? Or are you going to go Isak? But going back to my which camp of FPL manager are you going to live in game week 36? The I'm doing it by the books, by the numbers. I have to captain a double game weeker. Or is it going to be the same old story of single game weaker easily outscores any double game weaker? And you have some very, very obvious candidates, namely Mo Salah and Erling Haaland.
Yep.
Now, Haaland, as you mentioned, played 90 minutes against Leeds, did not look great. He's probably saving it all for Real Madrid. Is he probably going to play 90 again? What's going to happen?
Almost definitely. Yeah.
I feel pretty good that Haaland will start against Everton. Why not? Why even talk about it? It just is what it is. You're not going to bench him, so just go with God. But I think it comes into the captaincy conversation. Yep. Part of me thinks that Mo Salah is the standout captaincy option in this week above any of these guys because of what I had just mentioned earlier about Liverpool is probably... is in some of the best form. They're in their best form of the season.
Yeah.
And they are making this real push for the top four.
Yeah.
So what would it take you to put the armband on Salah this week?
I mean, for them to cancel a double game weeks, I feel like that's most likely.
So I know what camp you're in.
It's just not we talk about make fantasy fun again on this pod. To me, the make fantasy fun again pick is Newcastle, a Newcastle defender or a Brighton defender, somebody who's playing twice. It's just more fun. And I also think it's kind of mathematically the correct move as well. Assuming you can find somebody you feel relatively confident in.
How often do you get to be right and have fun at the same time?
Not often.
Yeah.
Not much, bud. So
yeah, talk to my wife.
All right. So let's, okay, two more questions, okay? This is we got that shaggy Monday vibe. You and I haven't recorded a pod on Monday in a long time. It's hard to do a full day of work and then record a podcast, Brandon. This is, all right, two more questions. Shiv says, which triple Newcastle would you go for? So let's say you're on a free hit or you're wild carding or something and you're just starting totally fresh. Most of us have Botman, don't love it, but we're kind of stuck there, right? So, but if I was starting fresh, which Newcastle... Yeah. Which Newcastle trio would you go for?
I would go Isak, Joe Linton, and Trippier. Now, Trippier is get that name out of my mouth territory right now. But I just feel like Trippier is now, we thought he was a god for a while, and now he has shown himself to be basically another Reece James. And what do we know about Reece James or Chilwell for that matter? Incredible players, incredible assets. It is impossible for defenders, bar Trent Alexander-Arnold, to keep that form going because much of that depends on the rest of the team. And I think Trippier is just kind of suffering. You take that dial down on Newcastle just a little bit.
Yeah,
and Trippier's fantasy returns are going to fall off a cliff. But I do still think he's there. He's still taking the set pieces. He's still getting forward. So I a double game week is probably your last opportunity to take advantage of what he's had to offer this season.
Yeah, I think I'll go Trippier, Joe Linton, Isak. Nice.
Okay, we're on the same.
Yeah. I was trying to think of. I was like, could I go Willock? Could I go the Isak Wilson duo that we talked about?
What about Murphy, who is 4.2 million? Jacob Murphy.
Yeah, you can't. I'm not playing the Jacob the Murphy. You know, it's like it's too. No, I don't like it. It's like it's too. too risky. These guys are too, Joe Linton is, it's taking me like 3 years to come around to the idea that I might want him. I need more years before I can come around on the end on Murphy. He looks kind of fun. I like him out there. Yeah. It's like he's exciting.
He started
exciting
9
player.
Of the last 10 matches for Newcastle.
Yeah, well, you get Murphy then.
Fine. I'll take Murphy over Joe Linton, and to the victor go the spoils.
Yeah, exactly. But I think Bruno G has is kind of a fun pick as well. Just because I don't know, maybe he's like it's like you wanted to have him in your team because he's like a fun player to watch, and it's so if you really have given up on the season and you just want a fun player to watch, then go ahead with
the guy who's always in the frame.
Yeah, exactly. All right, final questions from Ryan. He says, if we only had two Brighton, do we even need a third? They have two more games than almost everyone else but look exhausted. If we do need one, do we go Gross or McAllister or look at a good single game week player like Odegaard instead? Wow, so we already, we talked about Odegaard a little bit already. But yeah, I mean, I feel like we probably did answer this, if not directly earlier on. It does still feel like you probably want to find a way to get to three. Right. I don't know. It's
I like that Gross is mentioned here because Gross when basically all the starters bar March were stripped out of the starting 11 in that Wolves match.
Yep.
When and Gross could actually benefit from Solly March's injury.
Yep.
So that's a big punt. Definitely. I think Pascal Gross and I'm with you as well in the logic. It doesn't feel, and I don't think this is like a craven, I'm going by the template, I have to get triple Brighton. I think you're good to point out, Josh, that while a lot of the voices you may hear this week will say Isak is the favorite captain, then it starts to sound less fun. But actually, it's still fun because he's got the double. And this is why the triple Brighton remains intriguing and remains fun, even though you think you're boxed in by it. You're not. This is actually a way out.
Yeah, that's true. It's I think it's a Pascal Gross. It feels like a blast from the past, doesn't it, Brandon? Like a blast from.
Sure.
What's his first year in the league? Like the movie, the classic Brendan Fraser movie
with that guy, Brendan Fraser. Is this his fourth season in the Premier League?
It's a sixth, buddy.
What?
Six. Yeah.
I remember having him like his first or second season, and he was on pens, and he was one of those pen takers where you were like, you knew he was going to miss every pen that he took.
That's where I am like with a half my team right now, the Mo Salah included. It's interesting, actually. His first season was far and away his best in fantasy. He had 7 goals and 8 assists. This year is now set up to probably match it. If not, maybe he'll fall just a little bit short. But he has 8 goals and 6 assists so far this season. So he actually has scored more goals this season than he has in any previous season. So we probably are sleeping on him just a tiny bit. He doesn't seem to quite have the high floor that some of the other players have. But now with Marchop, maybe you're right. Maybe that does elevate and Gross a little bit. Makes it a little different. A little way to be different. All right. That's our pod, Brandon. Game week kicks off on Saturday morning, right? Yeah, we have Leeds Newcastle. Right. So there we go. We have a double game week team kicking things off. But nice kind of a FPL classic. Oh, once again, no late game on Saturday. What's going on? Can we just have a normal schedule for one week? Is there like another coronation taking place? Why is there no game?
Vice King gets coronated. Yeah.
And, it's not the FA Cup final. I don't know what's. Yeah, it's just silly. All right. So anyway, then we got a couple matches on three matches on Sunday. Leicester Liverpool. Now this is the kind of Monday afternoon match that I want, Brandon. Leicester Liverpool. Mm-hmm. And then we have a little 3-day gap, I think because of the Champions League. And then Newcastle, Brighton close off that game week. So a nice long game week that will feed right into another double game week from there. So looking forward to it. And then we'll have 38. I mean, we'll be basically, we have 3 weeks left in the season, including this upcoming game week. It's really coming to a head very quickly. And it's been fun. It's been kind of a wild season, but it's been fun. So I repeated myself there. But Brandon, thank you. Thanks for going on this voyage, this odyssey.
Every step of the way, Josh. I was glad to be here. We'll be back next week. Don't worry,
yes,
everybody.
Yeah. But thanks for supporting. Thanks for listening to the pod. And thank you to everyone who supports the podcast on Patreon. You go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to support us and say thanks. I'll thank our producer patrons now, Brandon, Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, our buddy, Chris Howell, Babas Kuhn, James Holland, Dave Wigner-Lodell, Nick Wright, Lazarus Yunos, Jesse Halstead, Craig Jackson, Thomas Andre, Shalin F. Kadakia, Bruce Kerr, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Todd Byerly, Andy Porlock, Dan Parsons, at FPL Merch, Kerry Swanson, Jefferson Turner, Terrence O'Donnell, Paul Herzig, Heath Cram, Buffalo Wild Mings, Francis Moore, Sam Shower, Calav Rabi, Valgar Parson Kruger, Alex Holcomb, James Keatley, The Saint, Bob Fox, Thomas Tislav, Noan Louise, and our newest producer patron, Thomas Grant. Thank you so much to everyone. And special shout out to Nick Wright, by the way, who's like 500 in the world right now. He's having an incredible season. It's really cool to see one of our producers doing so extraordinarily well. Yeah.
So shame he couldn't make the head-to-head playoffs. Better luck next time.
Better luck next time, bud. Yeah.
All right. Rate, review, subscribe to Always Cheat wherever you get your pods. We're here every week, and we wish you the best of luck in game week 36. See you next time.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.